are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We've got Dad's Time 2 today on the show. A little winky Wednesday here, back after a little hiatus. For those of you who don't know and don't follow the social media stuff, I had my first baby, little baby boy, Leo Peacock, and newest addition to the family. So Winkler's not the only dad on the podcast now. Going to be Dadcast from here on out. We're still going to talk some 49ers, although pretty great timing as far as having a baby goes, because really dead part of the football season right now. Not a lot to talk about, but we will bring on Nick and talk as much 49ers as we can and probably talk about some dad stuff. So I hope that's okay with you guys. And it's going to have to be, because you got no choice. And so, without further ado, why don't we bring on today's guest?
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Hey, congratulations to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, new dad, you're not sleeping, you're changing poopy diapers. How is it, man?
Yeah, what day is it?
Right? They all kind of blend together, don't they?
What year is it?
Right, that's where I'm at. I'm 5 years into this thing, man. I got two of them. You just wait. Woo!
Yeah, it's amazing, though. It's an amazing thing. So having good times, not a lot of sleep, but yeah, it's eye-opening, it's fun, and I don't have to work, so it's like, you know, whatever. What did I need sleep for anyways? I'm not at work. Got a little bit of time carved out today. Almost wasn't able to get it in, but had to get a podcast in. People are wondering what's going on, so we got to throw in a Winky Wednesday here and probably not have another podcast until next Winky Wednesday, then be back more on a regular schedule as we head toward training camp.
Yeah, I mean, you picked a perfect time. There's not a whole lot going on. You got Jerry Rice getting nude for ESPN Magazine. I mean, that's, you know, what else is there to talk about, right?
That's your story number one of the day.
Not a whole lot else to talk about. I mean, we can get into this Jalen Ramsey nonsense, but I mean, come on.
I mean, I think that really goes to show what NFL does in the offseason and this whole list thing, which is something I'd never paid. It's like, it's pointless, right?
Right.
The whole NFL top 100 or whatever, never pay any attention to it. And I really kind of in passing saw that Jimmy Garoppolo was on the list, and I was actually kind of mildly surprised. So I guess we can't start there. Jalen Ramsey on NFL Network was talking about how Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't deserve to be on the list yet. He hasn't done anything yet. 7 games. And you know what? On the surface, I kind of agree with Jalen Ramsey, but then he went a little bit further and was saying, you know, that he didn't really impress him that much and he didn't carve up the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I was like, okay, wait, hold on. Let's see. The Jacksonville Jaguars, one of the best defenses in the league, playoff team. Niners threw 44 points on those guys.
Scoreboard.
Right, so ultimate scoreboard there. And Jalen Ramsey is a stud, so like you know, it's not like the 49ers scored 44 points because they targeted Jalen Ramsey a bunch. So, you know, from that, you know, Jalen Ramsey didn't get carved up, although there was one dime that Jimmy Garoppolo threw in there to Kendrick Bourne on Jalen Ramsey, fitted in between Jalen Ramsey and the linebacker on a slant route, and he was able to get a few more yards after the catch there. But most of the damage was done thrown to the running backs in that game, but still 3 touchdown passes, and I think he did kind of carve him up. He didn't necessarily throw a bunch of bombs down the field, and he wasn't bombing on Jalen Ramsey, but they put up 44 points on the Jaguars.
And you said it, man. Jalen Ramsey, if he just says he doesn't deserve to be on there because he hasn't done anything yet, stop right there.
Right.
And you've got a point, and people are like, yeah, you're probably right. But then you start talking nonsense about he didn't really beat us and this and that. No, he kicked your butt, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sorry that it wasn't deep bombs and it wasn't all this stuff that you look on SportsCenter and see all these highlight reels, but look at that score and look at his stats from that game. He kicked your butt, and not you personally, right? But again, you're a team, and he went out there and he tore you guys up, and hopefully he's going to tear up a lot more defenses coming up this season.
And he's
I'm with him, though. I don't think he belongs on that list.
He's not there yet, but no. The list is pointless, so that's about all I ever want to talk about the list, because it's not something worth really discussing.
I'm pretty sure Carson Wentz was ahead of Aaron Rodgers on that list, too. So
yeah, and it's like, there's too many questions. Like, are you looking backwards? Are you looking forward? Like, what's going on? But at the same time, so I would, the last thought on that for Jalen Ramsey and the Jaguars is, Let me put it to you, Nick Winkler. Would you trade Jimmy Garoppolo for Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles, who was in part of the same draft class, by the way?
You could throw in Jalen Ramsey and I wouldn't take
right.
that deal.
Exactly.
No.
So if you're talking value, Maybe he does belong on that list. Maybe higher than Jalen Ramsey, because I wouldn't trade Jimmy Garoppolo for Jalen Ramsey, as good as Jalen Ramsey is, who's a straight up stud.
Great football player, but yeah, quarterbacks in this league. So we got a good one, and you know, Blake Bortles is trash.
Whoa. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's okay. I'll be sure to tag Jalen Ramsey when I post this, so yeah, he can come Blake back Bortles. For you. Yeah.
Hashtag Blake Bortles is trash.
Blake Bortles Facts is actually a pretty good Twitter account.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's like talking about. There's a good one about Tom Brady. It's like Tom Brady, or no, Blake Bortles has lost zero Super Bowls or something like that, and it shows Tom okay, Brady's Super Bowl record. Right. Yeah, yeah. A lot of very good Blake Bortles facts. That definitely a Twitter account worth looking at. There was a little bit of 49ers news as we move on here. Lakin Tomlinson, 3-year extension. He got a little bit of money, which is kind of surprising. So there was thoughts that maybe they were trying to replace Lakin Tomlinson, that maybe left guard was a spot they might draft a player, or you know, really both guard spots kind of up in the air, and such a weird position for the 49ers. They have 3 first round guards, but I didn't really feel like any of them were cemented on the roster, period, and definitely not as starters. But at this point, Lakin Tomlinson, yeah, he's the starter at left guard, and that's that. So now the position battle is over at right guard.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great signing. I mean, you got a guy who they feel fits their scheme well, and he did play pretty well last year. And that left side, that's his blind side. That's Garoppolo's tender side, if you will. So if they feel like he's their guy going forward and they want to lock him up and they've got the money, I mean, now's the time to spend frivolously like this. And yeah, I mean, offensive line's super important. So I've got absolutely no problem with it.
Yeah, I totally agree there. And you know what? Before the topic number one, I think we should spend at least 20 minutes on this after the break, is naked Jerry Rice, right?
Amen to that.
But first, there's some sponsorship stuff I got to take care of. And we've talked about our babies here. You've got 2. I don't know if you want to try or how hard you're trying to work on number 3. But one of the latest sponsors of the Locked On Podcast Network is Blue Chew. So I think we need to talk about that for 1 second. And I don't know if you're into chewing tablets that are blue that might get you toward baby number 3. I don't know if that's something that you are interested in. Are you trying to go baby number 3?
No, we okay. took care of that. I got snipped, man. I'm proud to say that I am shooting blanks. So I've got no problem with the need for the blue pills.
So bring on the blue chew.
I would have no problem chewing on some blue stuff.
Okay, good. Yeah.
You know, there's nothing not manly about it. I mean, Ditka went on television and told everybody it was okay. So that was the official time when it was cool.
That was the turning point.
Just do what you got to do. Make your wife happy. Happy wife, happy life.
And happy you also, right? It's
happy you, right?
It brings a smile to the world, I think.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, the world would be a lot better place if everybody was just chewing on blue things, you know?
Yes. Performance, confidence, bluechew.com, the color blue, BLUECHEW.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. That's something I didn't really realize was part of this thing. You couldn't do a full stomach before with the other type of pills. So since they're
lost in there.
Yeah. So since they're chewable, they work faster, up to twice as fast. And you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises, which I think is important when you're talking about something like this, right?
Yeah, that's great.
Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy. So no more awkwardness, very low-key here. They're made in the USA, and Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, so they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com, and also there's a video at BlueChew.com that will tell you a little bit more, and you can get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BLUECHEW.com. Promo code locked on. That's one word, locked on, to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. Okay. So maybe baby number 2 on the way for me. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah. You're just going to get right back on that horse. Huh?
It is like so soon to even think about breakfast tomorrow, let alone like thinking about a baby. I mean, my sister-in-law.
Waited a couple of years, man. Be smart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My sister-in-law had 2. They're kind of in your situation, and then baby number 3 popped up like almost 1 calendar year after baby number 2.
That was
like
my wife. She's 13 months. Yeah, and her and her sister, 13 months apart.
Very unplanned. That idea scares the bejesus out of me right now where I'm at.
Well, I can't imagine twins, how people deal with
yes,
that.
Yes, yeah. Oh,
especially if we've already got kids or something.
Right,
you're like, outnumbered and you've got two babies. Oh.
Where you're not sure. You're like, oh, man, should we try for one more? You're like, okay. You're like, oh, triplets. Oh, no.
Hey, look at that. All right, we did it.
Yeah, that's
no,
that's
we didn't want to be outnumbered, so we stopped at two.
That is frightening. So yeah, I saw the Jerry Rice thing, and I was like, okay, Jerry's keeping in shape, but that's what Jerry Rice does, right?
That's his whole life, man. And he's talking about, you know, I could still play in the NFL at 55, and I don't doubt it. I mean, T.O. was out there running, what, a 4.44? I mean, come on, these ex-49er wide receivers stay in shape, ready to go, waiting for the call.
Absolutely. And it's that's another – so, of course, this is that time of year, so – thankfully, this is when I had that baby. Not a lot of stuff to talk about over the last, you know, 10 days or so. I'm like, oh, you know, not a big, you know, every day I'm like, oh, man, there's going to be something that's going to pop up. And I'll wish I was able to throw down a podcast for it. And it hasn't really happened that much. But that's why they throw out this stuff, the body issue and, you know, this NFL top 100 list stuff. And generally, it's just stuff that's like, I am not interested in at all. So maybe I'll just take a 2-week break and have a maybe a 12-month turnaround for a second baby is the right thing, because that's it's the right time of year for it.
No, go 2 years. Go 24 months.
Okay, but yeah, there we go.
Whenever you knocked your wife up last time, just do it again, because this worked out perfectly. Tell Leo thank you out there, because it was awesome.
I'd like to say I had it all planned out.
Yeah.
Did not
say it.
Did not have it all planned out.
Oh.
For sure did not.
Okay.
So last year at this time, I don't know if you remember, what we did during this period was we did our all-time 49ers draft. Do you remember that?
Oh, of course. I dominated.
So I want to talk about one of the players that I drafted on my better roster, and that was Bob St. Clair, Hall of Fame offensive lineman. One of our listeners here, Hindenburg 49ers, he had a question about the top 10 or the top 10 best 49ers offensive linemen of all time. I'm going to read you the list. I think you already commented and saw it on Twitter. But here's the list. Number one, Joe Staley. Number two, Jesse Sapolu. Number three, Randy Cross. Number four, Harris Barton. Number five, Derek Dees. Number six, Ray Brown. Number seven, Keith Vonhorst. Rest in peace. Number eight, Guy McIntyre. Number nine, Steve Wallace. And number 10, Kevin Gogan. One thing about that top 10 list, aside from Joe Staley, that's 9 players that filtered in and out through the heyday, through the dynasty of the 49ers.
Right.
And when you put them all on a list, you're like, oh, that wasn't just one great offensive line. That was almost two complete amazing offensive lines that they had from the early 80s through the mid 90s.
Yeah, you wouldn't kick any of those guys, you know, off of your line at any time during their career, pretty much. Well, he comes back a little bit later, too, talking about Iapati, Newberry, Paris, Heitman, Oates. I mean, you know, they've had a lot of great offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Coming through this place.
And it's hard for fans, and that was kind of the theme of our all-time draft that we did, is my team went a little bit further back, and I had some players that we never got to see, you know, and so I think that's hard for people right now who are on Twitter. They didn't get to see Forrest Blue play. They didn't get to see Bob St. Clair play, and they're Hall of Fame players, and so it's hard for me to put any of those guys over those old-time Hall of Fame guys, Bob St. Clair was huge. He was like 6'9". 280 pounds. So he would have been someone physically who would have been up to par, I think, in today's game, you know, and that was back then without, you know, the benefit of, you know, weight rooms and workouts and supplements and things that are going on these days.
And not having to have a second job, which most of those guys had back then.
And a lot of them, we talked about, who was it? The tight end,
The wrestler
that went to the WWE, Leo Namolini did. He was a WWE guy, and I think Bob Sinclair did a little bit of that too. Bob Sinclair turned out to be a mayor of Daly City as well, and he was born in San Francisco, so he was a very San Francisco guy. So I had to throw the name of some of these old-time players out there that deserve to be at the top of the list. I still think Bob Sinclair should be number one on that list, but all of that is to say the question that I wanted to bring up to you, and when I saw him put this list out there, I saw Joe Staley at number one, still going for the 49ers, ahead of all those guys, ahead of Sapolu, Cross, Barton, Dees, Brown, Vonhorst, McIntyre, Wallace, Gogan. Those are all great players. He has Joe Staley at the top, and it's hard for me to argue where Joe Staley should be behind any of those guys, which brings me to the question, Joe Staley, at the end of his career, is he going to be the best offensive lineman in 49ers history?
I think he is already. I think I'm on board with this list. I mean, at least with the top, you know, five or six guys. I mean, maybe I'd swap Cross and Barton. I was a real big Barton guy. But again, it has a lot to do with my age and how much I watch football every Sunday, you know. And so we do get biased based on our guys, you know, and the amount of coverage that we've had of a lot of these guys just, you know, every single week. And I mean, Staley's been there and he's played a ton. You know, he has not missed a lot of time due to injury, and he has locked down that left side of that offensive line since, you know, pretty much from day one. So, I mean, you got to love that. I mean, who else could you put up there? I mean, maybe Cipolla, right? I mean, but who else could overtake him?
Yeah, it would be, it's hard. And plus, he plays that left tackle position. So
that's the anchor of that offensive line.
I have no problem with it. I would still put left tackle Bob Sinclair, the Hall of Famer, five-time All-Pro. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got the gold jacket for a reason. And just because he played a long time ago, I don't think you can take that stuff away from him. So he would still be number one for me, but I don't know if I would put anybody else ahead of Joe Staley for number two. Forrest Blue is another one, another name that deserves. I mean, there's just some really old time. Howard Mudd played on the 49ers. He literally wrote the book on offensive line play, like famous offensive line coach. And so, I mean, all these guys.
So does Staley have to make the Hall of Fame for you to move him up to number one?
Is it even possible
for him to get there?
He might. I just think. And knowing how athletic he is and how good he was, by the way, so I just looked up Howard Mudd. I wanted to see his Wikipedia. He was listed in his day 6'2", 254 as an offensive guard. And that's pretty standard. I remember in the 90s when the Dallas Cowboys, they were the first offensive line, and this is the 90s still, and the Cowboys were the first offensive line to have all five of their starters over 300 pounds.
Now it's just a given.
You can't play under 300 pounds. People freak out and we're like, oh, this guy's too small. Should he play tight end? You're like 295. I mean, that's insane, right? To think about. So, there's a lot of names that deserve consideration. It's hard to put some of the old time guys that you didn't see. And then when you put them up against each other, that's always the argument with old time versus now is like, okay, I mean, 6'2", 254, that is Brock Coyle, right?
Wow.
That's a middle linebacker. And this is he was an offensive lineman in the 60s, late 60s. So,
and a darn good one.
Right. And you can't really, I mean, I think a lot of big players back in the day were much bigger than their listed weights, but their listed weights were probably written down when they were, you know, 19 years old in college.
Step on a scale anytime like, whatever. After that.
Yeah. And I don't think they really freaked out on that kind of stuff back in the day as they do now. Now they're weighing everybody and, so
down to the gram.
Right. But that was one of the things with Bob St. Clair is he was 6'9", 270 something pounds in the 50s and 60s. So he was a big dude. So he was legit. He's a guy that would have physically been someone who stacked up. And it, like the NBA, the big NBA conversation with the greatest of all times, to me, still Wilt Chamberlain never gets talked about. But he was the dude averaged 50 points and 25 rebounds per game one season.
Nonsense.
Like ridiculous. Babe Ruth of basketball, basically. And he had, you know, he was Dwight Howard physically. So he was,
he changed the game.
Yeah. He was absolutely someone that could have rolled up in today's day and age and been a superstar player. So I think those are the guys, when you see the players that physically could have matched up as well as not only beating up on their peers, but could have physically played now. I mean, that's impressive stuff. So I think that should weigh, but it's really hard. But to answer the question, Joe Staley is in the conversation of the greatest offensive lineman in 49ers history. If he's not there, but he's probably in the top five at worst at this point. And that's impressive. That's pretty amazing to think about. And it's when you step back and you're like, oh my God, okay, this is one of the all time greats that we're getting to watch. So enjoy the rest of that ride.
Yeah. And he's been going for so long and he's still probably in the top, you know, two or three offensive tackles in the league.
Absolutely. A renaissance last year too, because it looked like he was starting to dip, you know, getting into his 30s. Yeah. And then he's just motivated now. And you saw how his attitude changed and the lights are back on and bright. And that's really cool to see. And so he's playing at a high level. He's got two more years on his contract. And we'll see if he can play beyond that. But those 2 years are going to be fun. And maybe, I don't know, maybe he's a Hall of Famer. And maybe that'll help to cement that legacy of being the best lineman in 49ers history. But right now, I can't put him there yet.
Well, I mean, and you got to win something too, right? I mean, you got to be able to be on that national stage and have everybody see you and all the voters and everything. Because if you never make the playoffs on your team, it's going to be tough.
That helps. And you know what else helps is that he's like one of the funnest guys to see in an interview, right?
Yeah,
if you were to pick, sure. If you're to pick one guy on the 49ers to hang out with, it'd probably be Joe Staley. At least
I would love to go do karaoke with Joe Staley.
Yeah, I would hang with Joe Staley and Marquise Goodwin. Those would be my first two choices.
I'm in.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we got a little bit of time here left. What I want to talk about, we talked about Jimmy Garoppolo, so why not kick off the Locked On 49ers position by position previews?
Love it.
So starting with quarterback, let's get that out of the way first because we just have a few minutes here, and it doesn't take long to talk about the quarterback position for the 49ers. If you're Jalen Ramsey, you think maybe Jimmy Garoppolo might be a little bit overrated. That's kind of the interesting point of the quarterback group for me. This is what is crazy. What if that trade never happened in October? What would the 49ers quarterback position look like? Would it have been 100% Kirk Cousins era? Mm-hmm. And I wonder if people, because people came to defend Jimmy Garoppolo against Jalen Ramsey. Like, there was some angry 49ers fans. Like, they're ready to fight to the death. It's like, okay, you only saw five games of this guy, and you're fired up. You're ready to go, which I love. But I wonder how. So, one of the players that Jimmy Garoppolo was higher than on that all-time or on the 2018 top 100 is Kirk Cousins. So let's say the 49ers didn't pull off that trade in October and maybe the Patriots were hoarding Jimmy Garoppolo still. And the 49ers ended up with, or maybe Jimmy Garoppolo went somewhere else and did what he did for the 49ers. Kirk Cousins would be the 49ers quarterback. Would 49ers fans then be like, oh, wait a second, what has Jimmy Garoppolo done? You can't put him ahead of Kirk Cousins, right? And so I wonder what Vikings fans think.
Of course they would. Yeah. Of course. Come on. We're faithful, man. Yeah. We saw what Jimmy G did here, and we loved it. And other teams probably like, it's a fluke, blah, blah, blah.
One thing's clear, though. He carved up the Jaguars.
He did. Yeah. He dominated Jalen Ramsey and the Jaguars.
So I do want to remind everybody to go to LockedOn49ers.com and Chris Wilson, the lead writer over there at LockedOn49ers.com, and I'm going to be announcing some more staff hires and some more people writing about the 49ers there on the .com. But he's starting those position-by-position previews, so go to LockedOn49ers.com. You can read about some of that stuff, and we'll be talking about more of those positions as we get close to training camp here on the podcast. But we'll do the quarterback thing here. Jimmy Garoppolo, the thing that I love, and again, another couple of Chris Wilson articles at LockedOn49ers.com were the yards per drive and the points per drive statistics, which were unreal. And if you're going to point out one thing about Jimmy Garoppolo and what he did, it wasn't like, okay, they won five games at the end of the year. It was that this was an 0-9 team, a 1-10 team that he took over and won those games. But it's the statistics. It's statistically what the 49ers were with and without. So,
yeah.
As far as yards per drive in 2017, total, combined with all the quarterbacks and all the games for the 49ers were middle of the road. They were at about 30.5 yards per drive, which was about 15th overall or something like that. Mm-hmm. The 49ers without Jimmy Garoppolo were the eighth worst in yards per drive. The 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo were number one in the NFL yards per drive by a wide margin. The second best was the New England Patriots at 39.2 yards. Wait, is that 39? Yeah, 39.2 yards per drive. 49ers were 42.1. Wow. And the Patriots had a big lead on third place, which was Atlanta. Fourth place, New Orleans. So Pittsburgh, the Chargers. So we're talking about Phillip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, Tom Brady, all behind Jimmy Garoppolo's 49ers in yards per drive. That was without Pierre Garçon. That was with some undrafted free agents, some street free agents. That was with Marquise Goodwin, who was never in a featured role in his career, and a fifth round, 5'7", white dude wide receiver. So that's what, you know?
Who didn't even play all those games either.
And it's not to, I'm not dissing any of those players that were in the 49ers with them, but we're not talking about Julio Jones. We're not talking about, you know, Michael Thomas or Antonio Brown that are on some of these other rosters. So
no, you're totally right.
That's insane.
Man. And it just the eye test, too, just watching the difference from when he took over. It's just night and day, man. I mean, the one knock that you hear a lot when it comes to Jimmy G-led offense is with a lot of field goals. And he didn't score a ton of touchdowns. But that, 49ers won games, and they got points, and the key is to get points and win games.
Right. So, and again, so that was yards per drive. Points per drive, almost identical. 49ers, middle of the road when you combine everything for the full season. The 49ers without Garoppolo, fourth worst in the league. And the 49ers with Garoppolo, again, number one in points per drive. And like you said, those were with field goals. Imagine if they're converting on those for touchdowns, that the gap would be even wider between the 49ers and the Patriots and, you know, and Drew Brees and all it's insane what he did. So on one hand.
One of the big things real quick is that we saw a lot less of Bradley Pinion once he took over. And that's super important.
Yeah, we no longer had to do the Pinion inside the 20. That we used to do on the old podcast.
That segment went away.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Jimmy G. And so hopefully those field goals become touchdowns. And then on the flip side, you know, the league is going to get to look at Garoppolo, have some more film on him, but he's also going to have more of the playbook to work with too. So we'll see how those two things collide here in 2018. But
and some more explosive weapons to play with as well.
But bottom line is, it wasn't a huge sample, but it was pretty obvious that Jimmy Garoppolo was for real and legit and kind of like, it blows you away how much better he was and how much different that team looked and how much better he made everybody else. So you can say it's a small sample, but it's also very, very for real.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And you know, I liked C.J. Beathard when he got in there too, and that's not a bad backup to have at this point either.
He's that tough guy. I think he's probably going to be, you know, he's a football lifer. His grandfather was an old GM.
He'll be holding the clipboard for a long time, probably coach at some point.
He's very much that guy who's very well suited to hold a clipboard for a long time, and hopefully that's what he does for the 49ers, and that's not a knock on him, but right. exactly
just take a few handoffs at the end of a game,
but we'll always have my respect for just keep continuing to get up, except for that last time when Jimmy Garoppolo was forced into action, but continuing to get up after he was just being killed out there
over
and really
and over and over tough guy.
Absolutely. And that long run he had, that win over the Giants, and then that long touchdown run. There were some highlights for C.J. Beathard, as rough as it was sometimes for him.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
And then there's a couple of quarterbacks on the roster that we should mention that are probably not going to stick around. Nick Mullins, maybe practice squad. You know, got to have an extra arm in the practice squad. Maybe quarterback Nick Mullins. He's in his second season now after being undrafted last year, and then undrafted free agent quarterback this year, and another guy who has some ties to the league. A little bit of nepotism going on here, got to admit. But Jack Hennigan is another rookie quarterback, and maybe he could fight against Mullins for that, you know, that practice squad spot. He's a little bit bigger, 6'4", 230. And Mullins is only, 6'1", 187. So Mullins isn't the biggest guy. But
slight.
Right. But a smart guy, went to Dartmouth, and I don't know. We'll see. One of those guys is going to be probably on the practice squad, and the other guy is going to be on the street. But really, it's a two-quarterback room, I think, on the actual roster that are actually going to wear uniforms. Hopefully, no injuries involved and changes that. But Jimmy Garoppolo and C.J. Beathard, those are your 49ers quarterbacks in 2018.
Yeah, and we're in a much better spot this year than we were last year, sitting here talking about this same stuff.
So here we go. Nick Winkler is writing the 2019 NFL Top 100. Jimmy Garoppolo produces in these 16 games in 2018, just as he did in the last five. And the 49ers are number one again with Garoppolo in, you know, points per drive and yards per drive and all of these statistics. 49ers are a playoff team under Jimmy Garoppolo. Where do you put him in the top 100?
Number one. He leads him to an undefeated season with those numbers.
Above Joe Staley?
Yeah.
Okay. Garoppolo 1,
yeah,
Joe Staley 2.
Joe Staley, yeah. Okay.
No, that's fair. That's absolutely fair. That's a great place to end it.
Sounds good.
All right, Nick, fun to be back.
Yeah, congratulations again, and we'll talk soon. You go enjoy being a dad.
I will. And by the way, the name Leo had nothing to do with the pass rush position for the 49ers, but since they didn't draft one, it looks like I got to develop one here. It's going to take 22 years, so the 2040 draft. Look out for Leo Peacock. He most likely he's not going to be built like a defensive end pass rusher.
More tight end
style. He might have some height, maybe more of like a quarterback or a wide receiver type of build is what I'm guessing. I don't know.
There you go.
We're trying to figure out if my height that runs in my family or the lack of height in my wife's family is going to take hold here. So we'll see what we get.
Sam and Mike will be on the way soon. Don't worry, everybody.
Not named after 49ers Hall of Famer and Brian Peacock's all-time draft player Leo Nomolini either. Not
Are
named
you
after
sure?
Yeah. But he does have abnormally large hands for a 10, 12-day-old baby.
My son had huge feet.
Okay.
Ginormous.
My son has fingers for toes. Also, which yes. might come in handy maybe in a different sport. I'm not sure, but.
Right.
Yeah, we'll see.
Very popular with the ladies.
All right, Nick. Thanks again, as always.
My pleasure, buddy.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at BDPeacock. You can follow Nick on Twitter at BayAreaWink. Go to LockedOn49ers.com for the podcast and a whole bunch more. Subscribe, rate, review, and we'll talk to you next week on another Winky Wednesday, and then we'll get back into regular rotation here on Locked On 49ers.
See ya.